Northwestern University law professor Larry Marshall admires Governor George Ryan's work on the death penalty.
When Governor Ryan was asked, will it be politically palatable for the legislature to do any reforms of the death penalty during an election year, he bristled. And he said, wait a minute, we're talking about killing innocent people and you're talking about politics. Governor, we thank you for the moral leadership you have shown.
Former Better Government Association head Terry Bruner has long been a vocal critic of the governor.
I mean, we've been saying that George Ryan's a crook for the last 20 years. And when he ran for governor, we were laughing because we said, my God, this is going to be a retirement insurance policy for every investigative reporter in town.
It's hard to believe these two are talking about the same man. 68-year-old George Homer Ryan Sr. is Illinois' bipartisan political combine incarnate. He's a conservative who helped kill the Federal Equal Rights Amendment in 1981 when he was State House Speaker. These days, he supports gay rights, gun control, some publicly funded abortions, and has grave doubts about the death penalty. Some say it's been a sincere change of heart. Others see Ryan's transition as an attempt to divert attention from the licenses for bribe scandal. That's the ongoing federal investigation of corruption in Ryan's office when he was Secretary of State. Whatever the motivation, longtime political consultant Don Rose says Ryan's conversion is unprecedented.
This entire process is an interesting transition from a politician to a conscious, almost ideological, if I can use the word, moral-based politician. And I don't know of a public figure who in office achieved this great moral and ideological metamorphosis.
His most radical change of heart seemed to come in 2000 when he issued a moratorium on executions in Illinois. That stance on capital punishment has a university professor and even an internet site determined to get the governor a Nobel Peace Prize. Former Governor Jim Thompson was Ryan's boss for 8 years when he was lieutenant governor. Thompson has served as Ryan's attorney. He says Ryan's accomplishments are being eclipsed by the federal investigation.
He moved the state forward in a number of important respects. He made a lot of sound, principled decisions while he was governor, and it's too bad that the Secretary of State's issues overshadowed that.
But others disagree. The Illinois Campaign for Political Reform's Cindy Canary says Ryan's style of politics has been an unwelcome throwback to another era.
The issue of sort of open, accountable, honest government, he just doesn't honestly seem to understand. It's much more, you know, his culture is, these are my friends. You treat your friends like family. They become your network. This is your circle, and you're loyal to the end. Even if that loyalty takes you down a path you shouldn't be on.
Ryan's old-fashioned, backslapping political style helped him rise to the position of minority leader and later to become Speaker of the House. But some allege that style may have allowed corruption to flourish. Federal prosecutors say Ryan's former chief of staff, Scott Faywell, ran the Secretary of State's office as a criminal enterprise. Faywell allegedly set fundraising goals, and some employees sold driver's licenses to meet those goals. Prosecutors suspect that at least $170,000 of bribe money ended up in Ryan's campaign coffers. More than 50 people have been convicted. But the effect of the license-selling scandal that provoked the most public outcry was a deadly accident. The six children of Reverend Scott and Janet Willis were killed on a Wisconsin highway in 1994. The trucker who caused the accident was one of many who illegally purchased their licenses in Illinois during the 1990s. Joe Power is the Willis family's attorney. Power says the way Ryan ran his office is an index of his character.
How in God's name could you know six lovely, innocent children are killed as a result of a person who paid a political bribe in your campaign fund to get a commercial driver's license? How could anyone in God's name, with any kind of conscience, allow that to happen? And he did. In my opinion, he's amoral.
The governor recently responded to allegations regarding the scandal and said his conscience is clear. In 1998, then U.S. Attorney Scott Lazar said, Ryan was not a subject of the investigation. Prosecutors now say Ryan knew about state employees doing campaign work on the public's dime. In court papers filed last month, they also allege Ryan knew of possible obstruction of justice by his employees and the Secretary of State's office. The scandal has had a serious impact on Ryan's popularity. When he entered the governor's mansion, his approval rating was more than 60%. A recent poll by McCullough and Associates puts Ryan's approval rating at an all-time low of 22%. Rod McCullough is a longtime Republican consultant and pollster. He says the ever-widening scandal helped Democrats nearly sweep the state in last November's election and made Ryan toxic to his own party.
The Jim Ryan campaign and Joe Burkett campaign met the same fate on the political highway that the Willis children met on I-94. If you look at the nationwide returns from November 5th, the Republican Party made gains all over the country. In Illinois, Republicans got trounced. And it's because I believe that the three most important issues in the November 5th election were George Ryan, George Ryan, and George Ryan. Voters were very tired of these corruption stories coming out, and they sought to put an end to it.
But McCullough adds that some of Ryan's policies also invited criticism. Take his $12 billion public works behemoth, Illinois First. George Ryan made many friends with it. It provided money for needed infrastructure and benefited allies with juicy state contracts. On the other hand, he alienated conservatives by breaking his promise not to raise taxes. Ryan raised liquor taxes and some state fees. He also broke his campaign promise to not support any new runways at O'Hare Airport. And George Ryan is still bold, even as the federal investigation into his stewardship of the Secretary of State's office moves ever closer to him. He's giving friends and allies political jobs that incoming Governor Rod Blagojevich can't touch, even as he's leaving his successor with a projected $3 billion state deficit. Rod McCullough says George Ryan's legacy will be mixed, no matter what the outcome of the federal investigation.
If George Ryan is indicted and ends up going to federal prison, his legacy will be no different than Dan Walker's or Otto Kerner's, who also may have done a lot of great good in their own mind. I think that's what people remember people for in the end. Even if he himself escapes the noose, I think that some of the media, particularly the more liberal media, will honor him as a guy who made some maybe and perhaps needed reforms in the penalty process.
Don Rose is a political consultant who's worked for both Democrats and Republicans. He says George Ryan shouldn't be remembered only for the licenses for bribe scandal. Rose says Ryan should also be remembered for what he calls Ryan's principal decisions, including his two trips to Cuba, the first by a sitting U.S. governor in over 40 years. But the paradoxes of George Ryan's career aren't lost on Don Rose.
This could be a man who's a Nobel Peace Prize candidate, possibly while he's sitting in a jail cell. Who knows?
If so, George Ryan would be joining an exclusive club. In the last half century, three former Illinois governors have been indicted. Or he could emerge like a prominent politician from the other party who survived scandals, former President Bill Clinton. Ryan could parlay his fame among opponents of capital punishment into lucrative speaking engagements. But Ryan's future path and his legacy may not be of his choosing. Federal prosecutors may have the final say. I'm Carlos Hernandez Gomez.